Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of Today Tonight with
Prime Time
with Charles Mitchell. Welcome to the podcast.
Now, okay,
cap wearing guzzling.
The question I have to ask is it the end of women?
Right.
So
yes.
Yeah, right. So what I mean by that is that people who are born men, and this is obviously, I'm heading into. It's like walking across fucking. It's like
crocodile infested waters.
Yeah. So people who are born male, or you know,
yes, men, but boys,
but internally. They're psychologically, I'm sure there's a medical term for sure, they're psychologically female, or they feel it's there's all different types of words for it. They're kind of, the outside doesn't match the inside, or whatever way they want to say it. And they say, well, I'm a person who needs to transition. So what you're having is that, say, a woman who's born a woman and who is a woman. Is everybody still with me?
Yes.
A woman who is a woman,
yes,
and is still a woman. And all the different things she has to go through as a woman. And all, so say when a woman hits her teens, she has to go through puberty and getting her periods and all that kind of, it's probably the first time in her life that she's dealing with huge hormonal changes. So I guess it's the hormonal changes over the course of a woman's life. And just the trauma of that. Are you still with me? Why have you gone awful quiet? Do you want to go back to talking
because
about
before?
No. Keep going. Keep going here.
You started this conversation and I'm not partaking in it just yet.
I'm staying.
Keep going.
And Loretta, like me, I'm staying completely silent here because I want to know.
I'm wondering where exactly you're going.
Are we going to meander on now?
I don't know where I'm going, but sure. Oh. It's better than standing still, isn't it?
Yes.
So you've all the hormonal changes that women have to go through, and just the psychological warfare of that and dealing with that from the age of 13 probably until when? Death.
Forever, yeah.
Death, you know. Although you do meet some nuns who are good crack in their 80s.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Just nuns.
But sometimes you look at a woman she's a grandmother and she can be kind and everything.
Yeah.
But sometimes you meet a grandmother and she is just
cross. Yeah.
Cross.
Yeah.
Now sometimes you meet cross nuns as well. But I do get an awful lift out of seeing a kind of a giddy nun in her 90s. I just think there's something. I said, by Jesus, you walked the right road for yourself.
I feel like we're after taking something, a heavy medication in here.
What?
Go on.
How have you been thinking of this all morning?
A giddy fucking nun in her 90s.
I love it. Do they have a kind of
a devilment
in their
when
eye?
When was the last time you came across a giddy nun in her 90s? Did you meet her in the local centre? How are you?
You see them around town. You see the little smiley heads in them.
Some of them.
Is there a place where they are around Ireland? Is there
convents, I think they're called, actually.
Is there?
Nuns
Island.
Which is an island full of nuns.
It's
like Lesbos. Or Mount Athos.
Mount Lesbos.
It's Mount Nunnery. Or
yeah. So anyway, I was thinking about how, and just the ongoing psychological difficulty of being, hormonal difficulty of being a woman from 13 to 19.
Yes, we get that.
Okay,
so we get that. Yeah. And I was thinking, so now what's happening is that you have people who are born men who want to transition.
Yes.
And they mightn't have the same hormonal trouble as a woman who is born a woman and stays a woman. You might have people who are born men and change into women, and they have all the kind of the physical attributes of a woman, but they after the transition, but they don't have the same hormonal trouble. Does that make makes a bit of sense?
Yeah.
You sound like you're looking for the Tory membership leadership
so,
here.
So all I'm saying is that it might come a day where men who are born men and want to stay men, start finding men who are born men but turn into women easier to live with than women who were born women.
So it could be the end for women.
It's women are done. We're done with women. Now we have men and men with vaginas. And I just think that the men might find it easier to live
with a man with a vagina and an old artificial set of ditties.
So if Hector, so say,
oh my God. It could be a
contact me when you finish this conversation. I'm not a partaker.
So the premier,
it's the end of women.
It's the end of women.
How long did it take you to come up with that fucking theory?
It's not a bad analogy because
women are done. We don't need.
We'd love to live with somebody who has.
Just we'll live with one of the lads and he has a vagina.
Stop it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is that not the future?
I'm stepping out of this conversation. I'll be back when it's
there's
over.
Something brilliantly simple about it as well. There'd be never any shite. He's just one of the lads.
Exactly.
But he's not really one of the lads because he hasn't got a lad. He's got a vagina, but he is a lad.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just putting it out there, Luisa, as something to, I was thinking about this morning, walking around the house.
Now, have you a query on that?
No, I have no queries.
You're not getting involved.
No, I'm not getting involved. That's okay. Theory I'm not into.
It has to be a phenomenal.
A careful.
Bravery.
Change.
I think it's bravery.
To do that transition. To do that from male to female or female to male.
But what really bothers
me through with it.
Is that why does everybody have an opinion on other people's lives? If somebody wants to do that, well, let them do it.
This comes from the woman, you're renowned, Loretta, of course, for having no opinion about anybody else.
I know.
You're such a shrinking violet. It's hard to get the word out of you.
I was just thinking that there the other day. I think I might be too opinionated. I was walking down the street in Ballinath at the weekend.
Yes.
And there's this woman there giving out fucking leaflets about, I don't know, fucking anti-fucking vaccine and anti-fucking... Oh, yeah. Abortion, all this. And I said to her, no thanks, I don't want the leaflet. And she goes, oh well, wait till you see this winter. And I said, well, I'll wait and see. And I felt like saying to her, why are you trying to shove your pamphlets down my throat, but I'm not going around telling you how to live your life? Why do people do that? Why is there, we've a new element of society now that feel that they have to look after everybody else and tell everybody else how they should live.
Yeah,
their
they're called the government and the media.
Yes, but where are these people are like, giving out, why does a woman feel the need to stand in the middle of a town that she's probably not from and giving out leaflets to people she doesn't know about stuff that they should be or shouldn't be doing? Fuck off and mind your own business. I'm not telling you how to live your life. So go home with your leaflets and fucking read them yourself and give them to your own friends. But I'm not your friend and I don't know you. Back off.
Okay, now, Rita, can I just ask you a question? I want you to be honest with me. Does this all go back to Mayo being knocked out of the championship and Galway being in the final? Is it all?
I have to say, I'm very, as it's getting closer and closer, I really, really, genuinely hope that Galway win the All Ireland.
Okay, thank you.
I mean
thank
that,
you for that
sincerely.
Thank you.
Neither of you are from Galway, but yeah,
always
okay.
Getting the digging. She's always getting the digging.
Yeah, oh yeah, thanks. Like, oh yeah, we're just from Galway. Yeah, right. You were from Meath when it was suited you, and now you're from Galway.
Hang on. We're from Meath. In the ladies.
Oh yeah, in Galway.
For the men, we're from Galway.
Exactly. And we have both strong West of Ireland connections.
Yes.
And Galway connections.
Oh, yeah.
And blood.
Anyway, also...
We have blood in the county.
We have blood
here. In the county.
Yeah.
No, Luisa, we have blood in the county.
Yeah, great.
We have blood flowing through our veins.
Yeah.
Yeah, Galway blood.
I have a third generation of blood in the county.
The Tiernans...
Are from Mayo.
Some of the Tiernans moved past Ballindine and came down through Tuam.
Some of them drifted past...
They didn't go beyond Shrewd.
Some of them drifted across the border into the Headford Parish.
And that's only a stone's throw. Shrewl and Kilmaine. It's only a stone's throw from Galway. Walk four fields
anyway,
back from Kilmaine. You're in Galway.
Anyway, there's a great Mayo man whose son plays for Galway on the Galway team.
Finnerty.
And I met Larry last night and I'm absolutely flat out excited for Galway to win the All-Ireland.
This is you flat out excited. God, be good to us.
So I do hope they win and it'd be great. It'd be just brilliant for... It'd be great. Just great.
How are you fixed? Now, today is a day, an ordinary day, but it's every day that passes, Loretta, you are getting closer and closer to being a married woman. And of course, we all know what happens when you get married. You have to stop working. It'll be, you won't be able to do the podcast anymore.
Yeah.
Because it'll be, you belong to somebody else.
I'll be living in the kitchen.
And we'll fall backward.
We'll have to ask the beloved for permission to talk to you.
Yeah.
And all that.
I won't be able to leave the
house. Are you available to record the podcast?
Yeah.
You'll be able to enter.
But the positives
are you will be able to enter the Caller Cozen Gas Housewife of the Year competition.
I wonder what would my strong points be in that.
Not cooking.
Yes, it would be cooking.
Not baking. Maybe growing and planting and cleaning.
No,
and
that wouldn't be good washing. Either. No, I don't think I'd ever make the grade for the Housewife of the Year.
So we're galloping towards the great day where you're taken off the market, and it's like a house that
has been for sale for a long time.
Selling now. We'll go around the room once.
I've had it for sale.
The auctioneer won't believe it.
Selling once after, around the room
after
now.
30 years.
I'll sell her twice. Sold to the man.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Like an old cow at the marge.
Wife hunters in the sun.
Yeah. I'm not cut out for this wedding stuff.
The pressure of the day.
No, it's just people are like, some people are really inappropriate as well. Like people keep saying, oh, you shouldn't be eating this and you need to be on a diet and you need to be, watch this. And
I'd be more concerned with people like that now than people giving out pamphlets about not getting vaccinated.
Why would people do that? Women do it.
Yeah, a fella would never do that.
We would never. No, we would never say to another fella.
Most women wouldn't either, but why would women do that?
We would say, just go enjoy the day.
What's psychologically wrong with someone that tells you that you need to stop eating and you need to be careful of your diet?
That's back to the hormonal thing. When women turn into men with vaginas, all that crackles
is gone. It'll just be like,
it'll just be someday.
Yeah, that was a great old day. Go and enjoy yourself. Go on, have it. And you know what? It was a fucking mighty old day.
Mighty old day. It was a mighty old day. I couldn't give a fuck. So do you have a sense you're going to be relieved when the day is done?
I feel like I'm having an outer body experience. I'm sitting on a fence watching it all unfold. And I'm like, oh God, I don't know. This is all going a bit too fast for me.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I'm sure I'll be, sure. It's hard to believe it's actually going to happen, isn't it?
Yes, and that the countdown has begun.
Yeah. So I suppose, look, what's the big deal? It'll be
we have been waiting for this day since the day we met you.
Yeah, we've been... What?
Does that sound good?
Since the day we met you, we've been waiting for her to get married.
No, but I suppose... Loretta,
counting down the years.
We met you about 9 or 10 years ago.
Why does he love going down memory lane?
Shut up with
like
you.
He's doing like
people say,
school around the corner. Like,
where'd you meet
the Because the school around the corner's just the same. Even though the kids, they play a different game. Though we may be years apart, sure we're still young at heart. Oh, the school around the corner just the same.
But the countdown has really begun.
Anyway, it's a load of shite. The whole lot of it, it's a load of shite. And I can't wait until I'm in the middle of the day and then having the crack.
And relax. And you have the hen coming up soon.
And like, I'm still not recovered from COVID. Like, can we just address that elephant in the room? The biggest drama of all.
We didn't get a COVID update.
I'm still
now. Let's go live here to Dr.
I'm still unwell.
Are you?
Yeah.
What way?
Every way. Like, I just don't feel right. And I don't know if it's the wedding or if it's COVID.
Now, you went on a strong...
I'm just putting it down as COVID.
You've been taking tablets.
Tell us your symptoms. Hector's mad for symptoms. Nothing personal or graphic. Keep that shit
to yourself.
Your
bowel movements or anything like that. Just generally tired and tired. And I feel like I'm hungover all the time.
That's that fuzziness.
Yeah. So how do you get rid of that? Another person as well. This is a new thing, Irish people. Yeah, are you taking vitamins? Are you taking vitamins? Every fucking person you meet, are you taking vitamins? Why is everyone asking you that as well? Can I just put that on the list as well?
I don't know.
Fuck off.
I think me and you, Hector, need to put a call into the beloved and just offer him a way out here I think he's bitten off more than he can chew. I think he's
on the Tuesday after the wedding.
I think he's...
Forget about it anyway.
If she's like this with us, what is she like with him? She's tearing the head off coming into the house. Well, if I see another fucking person
trying to tell me what to think.
Do you want a cup of tea? What in the name of God is
this?
Why
do that
the
all the time?
Treat them in fucking B and magnesium. Get them out.
Anyway, I'm taking every vitamin known to man. I'm taking them and that's it. But they're not making any difference.
Has anyone got any tickets for the All-Ireland?
Are you looking for tickets?
Yes. Of course I am, Tommy. You're away this weekend.
I'm flying on Saturday.
And so where are the access to tickets that you may have? Where are they?
I have two, but I've promised them to a young fella on the island.
Okay, that's fine. Loretta, any tickets?
I don't have any tickets. I've been invited.
I need four. I've got two. I won two in the club draw.
Did you?
Which is great. Yeah, the club draw. Family memberships went into the draw and we were pulling.
How many people are in the draw?
850 families.
And how many families won tickets?
About 75.
What?
But each club has allocated tickets, Tommy, for the All-Ireland. Cindy said that in a GA
voice. Will you stop doing impressions of your mother, will you?
each club is allocated a certain amount of tickets around the country.
150?
What?
So depending on the size 70, of your club.
No.
The club has thousands of members.
Yeah, but you said 850 families entered the draw and 75 got tickets.
That's only juvenile members. So we've got about 1,300 members in the club. Barna would have easily 700 members.
Yeah, but how many tickets does the club get?
Maybe 50 or 75 pairs. They're selling pairs.
Fuck me, that's a lot.
No, that's what happens around the country. So they're trying to fall into the right hands, because what you don't want is tickets to fall into the wrong hands.
And who are the wrong hands?
Of people who don't really want to be there. And they're only, you know, that's it.
But then they shouldn't enter the draw.
Well, you can opt in and opt out. We won two tickets for the Hill, so I have two for the lads.
Now, so the lad will go to the Hill.
Yeah, but my eldest...
In the heat.
Rain, yeah,
but no, it's going to be raining.
It's going... Is it?
Yeah.
Is it going to be raining?
Which is another good positive for Galway, if it's going to be raining, I think. Make things a little bit
slippy. It's just going to be such a weekend. It's. Can you imagine? We were only saying it there before we came on the podcast, myself and Loretta, that if Galway win this All-Ireland, the Galway races start less than 24 hours later.
Man.
It will be absolutely
carnage.
The hole in the wall, the pubs of Galway, every town and village.
Just, the hole in the wall just turned into the hole, the no wall.
Let me give you a bit of advice from a Mayo person. Don't get excited about the victory yet.
Oh, Christ.
Have you ever heard... Do you know what that is, Hector?
Just turn off the lights and close the door.
That's the loser's anthem.
That's what we're used to. Be careful. Don't get excited.
Hello, darkness.
My old friend.
That's the song they sing.
I hope to see you once again.
Yeah, we've gone away when they play N17.
I'm a loser, so why don't you kill me?
I'm a loser, baby.
I'm a loser,
why don't you kill me?
Tommy, you're away. You won't get to it.
So I am going to... Oh, now I meant to ask you this. So I'm going to Canada for a week on Sunday for the Just for Last Festival. There's a few people I'm excited to see, a couple of comedians, people like Mark Maron, Patton Oswalt, Maria Bamford, Bill Burr. I think Kevin Hart is going to be there, I'm not sure.
Oh.
So it'd be interesting, just throwing an eye.
Seeing what they're doing.
See what they're at, you know.
Yeah.
I saw Bill Burr a few years ago in the Three Arena and he was phenomenal. So I'd throw an eye on them, and there's a few old pals of mine in Canada.
Right.
I've got to know over there. But I am so not interested in the actual country or the actual city.
I've never been.
It's
Where
Toronto.
Are you going to? What city?
I'm going to Montreal because
Is that the French speaking one?
Yeah. Oh. I just find all cities in the white Western world are the same. Sydney is the same as fucking Perth is the same as Montreal is the same as... You know, there's a repetition of shops. There's a repetition of lifestyle. There's a
skyscrapers.
It seems like there's a repetition of values. Which is this, it's all corporate, it's all to do with money, it's all to do with coffee and drinks. Mm. And
I'm
bored with that.
That's the way the big companies have shaped our cities, isn't it?
I think so.
It's the way they have done it. But having said that, Montreal does have an eclectic, artistic, creative, like Cirque du Soleil was born and bred there. It's a nice place, Tommy. It's not as...
No, I'm not putting it down, I'm not excited about going
there.
So
what was your question?
My question is, so I don't know if I meant, did I tell you I'm going to Somalia?
You told us you were.
Yes, are you definitely going to go?
Yes, I'm going to go to Somalia. But what I want to ask you, Hector, is about.
Are you ready to go to places like this?
Well, I'm so excited about the possibility of going to Honduras, Palestine, Kenya, the Yemen. I'm excited about
going. Are you going to do a whole tour for
off
them?
The beaten track.
When are you going to do this?
I don't know, but I'm excited about the idea of it that I've just put into my own head.
Yes. You're talking about some amazing places.
But
then.
They're the opposite to shopping centres.
Yeah.
They're the opposite.
There's
no Starbucks in Somalia.
I'd love to go to Palestine.
How do you know?
I'd love to go to Gaza. I've an awful goo in me to get to Gaza. I just want to be with the people of Gaza. I want to get down with the people of Gaza.
Isn't that much more interesting?
Yes,
than going to Chicago or Boston?
Of course it is. Imagine landing in a city like Dhaka in Bangladesh with 11 million people and it's just rickshaws. Imagine landing in Ecuador, in Quito. Tommy,
Bangladesh where there's cows sitting on the curb playing harmonicas for money.
and they are sacred and they are not allowed to touch them, whether it's 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They just waddle by.
But tell me, what I wanted to ask you about for, say, Somalia is...
Krishna cows.
Is the shots.
Oh, you'll have to get every
now,
shot.
Now, what will I have to get, Hector?
There's a list of them, Tommy.
Like,
I told you about the time that I forgot to get my rabies shot. I was off to Africa and I had every shot under the sun. I rang Boff and I was going to Dublin that afternoon and I rang him and I went, Boff.
Is it all a scam? Are the shots a scam?
I'll tell you, you should go for the crap without them. I'll tell you, yeah. Go on, yeah.
Come back with red pox or something.
Monkey juice, that's the new disease.
Yeah, monkey pox.
So, I said to Boff, did I get the rabies? Let me just check. Oh, you need a booster for rabies because it was 10 years since I got it. I said, I'm going to Dublin Airport this evening. He says, come out to me. Come out and ring.
I have never heard of anybody coming back from Africa with rabies.
Because they get the bloody shots before they go.
Yeah, but listen to the story. So
it's a scam.
I said, Boff, he said, you need a booster for rabies. I said, Boff, I'm under pressure. He says, I'll run out to you. I told you that story.
Yeah, you did.
And I put the arm out the window in Lower Salt Hill.
What?
I put the arm out the window. The car, he ran out and he went, boom! And he jabbed me, and 2 minutes later, I'm out past the Apple Green. I was flying. I had the rabies booster as I rattled my way past Ballinasloe. Full of rabies.
Is it a scam, Hector?
Full of rabies.
Nobody gets rabies anymore.
I'll tell you one thing. If you get a bite of a rancid dog in the township.
An owl hyena,
Tommy,
or something.
I'm telling you now, or you get a little, what's that? Just a little bite.
Of an insect.
A spider bite.
Okay, I lived in Africa for 3 years. I wonder, am I
you're probably immune, Tommy. Yeah. I mean,
so
honestly,
what about cholera?
As a natural African.
What about typhoid cholera?
What about them?
So you make sure that cap on your water twists and you hear a click.
What?
That's the biggest thing I can tell you about clean drinking water. When you're drinking your bottle of water, you make sure you hear that cap crick and it's a brand new bottle of water. That's my advice to you.
Tommy, you're going to come back with every
typhoid,
sort
cholera,
of
hepatitis. There's a number of... Yeah, you need
malaria.
Malaria. Are you going to do malaria? No,
I'm asking you for advice, Hector. Well, so I think it's a scam. I don't think...
Well, I think you should go without any of them and see how you get on.
Okay. There are countries where you need to get some jabs for, like yellow fever. You can't get into Brazil.
When people are coming here, do they get
yellow
jabs?
Yellow fever kill hundreds of thousands of people.
What kind of stuff? Yeah. Well, like what?
When people come here, do they get jabs?
Yeah, they get jabs full of Ritz.
What?
To just get them ready for it. No, nobody needs a jab coming to Ireland.
No, what?
You need
is
a jab for fucking reality
don't.
Going. How much should I pay for a pint of Guinness?
A porter jab.
And how much should I pay for this hotel in Dublin? Give me another one of those reality jabs.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
You're selling now in Brian Thomas.
Hola, ¿quieres un Guinness? Maria, ¿quieres un pinta de Guinness? Dos, tres Guinness, por favor. Tres pintas de Guinness, por favor. Joder, fucking 45 euro para cuatro pintas de Guinness. Que hostias, son putadas. Fucking Ireland, a fucking rip off 45 euro for fucking 3 pints. Fuck this cunt of a place. I'm back to Madrid.
So have there been any side effects to any of the jabs that you've ever taken?
No, and I've been getting them for 20 years. Jabs have been there to save lives and mind people. And you have to get them, Tommy. And malaria is not a nice thing.
And
if Loreen has long COVID at the moment...
So she says. I think she's
if
just
if you got a dose of malaria when you come back, if you catch malaria and you come back here the weeks after it, you will
be
lying in
away.
The bed and your brain will be playing tricks on you that Alfred Huxley from Doors of Perception never even... Alfred. Aldous Huxley.
A-L-D-O-U-S.
If you want to play with the doors of perception in your mind, yeah. You'll get a dose of malaria on a good... No, listen, you don't need any jabs.
What would happen to him if he got malaria?
He's just...
Get all scalded.
Lack of energy, mind playing tricks, completely fatigued, feeling fucking horrific.
Like me. I think I've malaria.
Tommy,
so the jabs...
Trust the experts.
What?
Just trust the experts. Make a phone call.
You won't be allowed in anyway without them.
Exactly, yeah. I would recommend that you just get your jabs. Hepatitis, typhoid, cholera, rabies.
And there's no side effects to any of them?
No, I've been getting it for a long, long. I've been getting so
And you haven't noticed?
No, but I'm happy that I've had the job.
You're a bit skankier.
I feel lucky that I'm in a first world position to get fucking jobs like this, whereas these jobs are not available to the people on the ground in the countries you're going to. And they save lives.
Isn't that a queer one?
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is, yeah. Typhoid.
Why don't
cholera,
you bring some over with you?
Dirty drinking water.
So you can traipse into Salt Hill and get your...
By the grace of God, we're living in a country where I can do that, and it's just the fucking the imbalance that's in this unbelievable world that we have. Yeah, so cataracts and all this stuff. Look, malaria kills millions of people every year in the third world. I hate using that fucking term as well, because it is our world. It's a first world. It's not a first world. And
one
world. First world problems, bollocks. Jesus Christ Almighty, Tommy! It will be a life changing experience for you to land. First of all, feel the heat. Secondly, smell the
it was
country.
Hot, it was hotter in the Phoenix Park yesterday than it was in Mogadishu.
The sun is going to melt your skin. Don't forget your factor 30 or 40 or even 50.
You better get your shot soon, because don't you need to like three
no,
months sometimes?
No, he doesn't need any shots going over there.
Oh, no
he
shots?
Doesn't. Not only for a week, he'll be grand.
Oh, it'll be grand. No, Tommy, you better
I made a phone call yesterday to there's a
Tropical Medicine Bureau. Yes. Don't worry about that. The Tropical Medicine Bureau is available. But when you're living in Clonakilty, it's a long journey up to
sure.
Just go to your local doctor. Tell him where you're going. He looks on the map. He tells you what you get. You get your shots. Tropical medicine is good.
So you're,
you can go to a local doctor to get your shots.
Really?
GPs can give you the exact same shots.
You have a pal doctor.
Well, he's a good mate of mine, yeah, but I can
Why do you get them off him and not your local?
I know him for 25, 30 years.
Okay.
It's easier for me than back in the day when we were going to Brazil for the first time, 2001, 2002, or we're going to Asia, we all went to Dublin to the Tropical Medicine Bureau because we were travelling to Asia for 3 months.
Yeah.
And it was this man. Now I just throw him my shoulder, throw him the other shoulder. You don't want all the jabs in one shoulder, by the way. You might take one in the arse as well. Just anywhere there's a lot of fatty tissue. But... just go to your local GP.
Doctor Rector.
Go to your local GP and tell him where you're going, and he'll look it up and he'll say bum, and you'll get a little...
He'll give you something
a little chart there to say you have it.
Okay.
Tetanus is another one, Tommy. It all depends what you want
to
do.
And are you allowed to go to these countries when your sphincter gets loose? You know, like, this is a worry.
You could have loose sphincter, all right.
This is worrying, you know, as you get older.
Can I give you a little... In the wash bag, you'll need a few extra little bits, Tommy.
Suppositories.
You'll need opium suppositories.
Opium ones.
Hashish injections. No.
He can't travel with them.
No, I'm only joking. He will need...
Motilium.
Pseudocreme.
Pseudocreme. For chaffing.
For the thighs to be chaffing.
Absolutely. When the sweat runs down the Khyber Pass. You'll need some, obviously, paracetamol. You'll need a bit of motilium, just in case bloated stomach at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're lying there in the heat and all of
what's the worst dose you've ever had abroad?
I got a diarrhea parasite in Ecuador in 2002 and I will never ever forget it. Ever.
Roscoe, what did you do? Drink the water,
I lay in a room for 3 days and three nights with one of those fans. And it was on different speeds. And no matter, Ireland were playing in some, was it 2002? What was on? Saipan, was it? What was 2002?
Yes, Korea.
I never forget Roscoe and Evan coming to the door and they smelt like two fucking lads going to a disco bar in Magaluf, and they'd shirts on them and it was roasting, and I'm in the bedroom and I'm down to my bare jocks like a lad who's been in a prison cell for 9 years, and I'm just unshaven and unkept because all I want to do is make the journey from the bed to the toilet, and it's absolute horrific dose. And Roscoe and the lads were like that. I was like, yeah. I finally opened the door and they were like, so they knew I was bad, but I never forget the smell of aftershave. They were out to watch an Irish match. It was something like 2 o'clock in the morning in Ecuador, and there was me lying on the bed with the foof, 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 foof. And every time I got up to go to the toilet, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse, until after a while it was just in the liquid went and out the liquid went. And
there was no more liquid left.
I'm just lying in the bed here.
Miserable.
It was a parasite. Roscoe got a bad dose.
But how did you get it out, or what happened?
The Great Wall of China. It's just, you would take, there's a thing called, oh yes, I can recommend something. There's a tablet called Zithromax.
Oh, yeah.
Which stops. Now, you can use your normal diarrhea tablets, but when you want to go down the real heavy-duty fucking JCB...
To blow you up, to stop you.
To plug it up.
Plug you up.
Evan was in the toilet, I'll never forget, in Kathmandu. It was Nepal, and we were there. And Evan said about 3 days before we were leaving, I don't feel well, I've got a bit of a bug. And you see, we've had it before. So he would... And then it got worse. And the next day he was, I can't shift that. I said, have you got that in Moretz and all that? He goes, yeah. So then me and Roscoe were going out that night and we knocked on his door. And he came to the door and goes, and I knew from the head of him, he went, not good, lads, not good. I'm just going to, I can't shift this diarrhea. And that we went out, had a great night. We ended up in the casino full of Nepalese beer, which is called Mount Everest. We drank more bottles and Glacier Mount Everest. Came back the next morning, I knocked on Evan's door about 9 o'clock in the morning, said, will you come for some breakfast? When he opened the door, it was like seeing a lad. He had gone back 20 years. He had regressed because I said, how bad is it? He said, and I'll never forget his words. He said, I can't sleep. I couldn't watch telly. I couldn't keep making the journey from the bed to the toilet. So what I did was I set up everything in the toilet. So he brought an armchair and a chair and a little table into the
bathroom.
Into the bathroom. Oh. And he had the laptop plugged in the bathroom. He just stayed the in the bathroom fella. All
oh,
night.
Oh, how because depressing. He couldn't
bent over double on the jacks.
And I said, Evan, how bad is that? And he goes, it's bad. I said, why didn't you tell me? I would have given you one of me Zithros. So he said, well, fuck it, why didn't you tell me? So I ran down to my room. I got one of the Zithros. I came up and I said, get this little baby into you now. 3 or 4 hours later.
We need you to get Zithro filled.
So Tommy.
Zithromax.
But there, look, it's sunburn, all those things. But I think your mind and your everything is going to be so much opened. But please mind your skin. You're going to get sunburnt, man. I've got fucking heavily sunburnt in some of these countries that I'll never.
They just wear sun cream. I'm pretty sure that's the least of his worries.
Yeah, but if he doesn't, on his head and stuff, on his nose, back of his ears, his neck.
He always wears a hat. He's still going to get his head burnt.
He can't be going. Yeah, he's going to get awful sunburn. Just do
I'm
the
just going
things.
To bring an Irish cap, the tweed suit and a tin whistle.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So there's a cross section of people listening to the podcast, and it never ceases to amaze me.
Who gave you that word?
I gave you it.
It's just Larita. Like you're after eating a thesaurus today. You've a lot of words coming out of your mouth.
Larita, can I just stop you there? I think that's the most interesting thing you've ever said.
What?
You're like a fella after eating a thesaurus.
Yeah, a thesaurus. Dictionary.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful,
but
Mayo?
That's beautiful.
I've never heard somebody
you're
saying
that. You're like a fella's after eating a thesaurus.
Yeah.
You're that's after...
I've never heard of that before.
No. You're after gorging on a thesaurus of words.
That's beautiful.
From a magnificent...
God, that's a, it's
so I was standing in the supermarket the other day...
You're always in the supermarket.
I have a name of the episode.
I don't care.
Yeah, but wait till you hear who listens to the podcast.
Yeah, but can I just give you this name first?
Yes.
Letter Kenya.
We've gone, the names of the podcast have completely erupted into some chaos.
Yes, chaos. Letter Kenya.
like
super.
Go on anyway.
I was standing there and then this guy comes by. I just, when I meet people who are actually meeting me and they're listening to the podcast at the same time.
Jesus, why don't you say things just normally?
Why don't you just listen?
I'm sorry, can we just go over that line again? When I meet someone who meets me.
Yes.
Are you talking
about? That's what happens in the island.
You're like somebody presented a show for fucking 4-year-olds on RT2 in the afternoon.
Well, I did.
Now, lads, let's draw
show.
A picture. Now, when you meet someone
show,
who meets you, no, how do you feel about that person?
When you meet somebody and they meet you, it's a meeting, yeah? You meet them. So I.
Oh, fuck off, will you?
What's wrong with you?
Okay,
English for beginners.
English for dummies. You know that book.
Welcome to English for Beginners, part one.
Sorry, when you meet someone
John's
who meets
in a
you.
Supermarket. Here's Polly. Hello, John.
Hello, Polly.
Polly's just met John for the first time.
Yeah. Hello.
Over the frozen peas.
It's like those Spanish things you meet. Jaime has entered into the supermarket. He's met Maria. And they meet for the first time. Hola, Jaime. Hola, Maria.
Can I just interrupt you? Sorry. Can I give people a film recommendation?
Yes.
It's called The Blind Christ.
Back to the
Jesus.
It's called The Blind Christ.
Well, speaking of the fucking blind,
I'm not sure if it's the heat or my COVID conditions or my malaria possibly.
Or your thesauruses.
Or my thesaurus, but we are having a fucking trip to somewhere today and I'm not sure anyone else.
And the reason it crossed my mind is because it's a film from Chile. And I was just taken. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful film. And I thought, if I'd like to go to those kind of places,
how would you?
I can organize it.
But how difficult would it be to learn? How hard is it to learn Spanish?
Not in the slightest. It is a.
Hola, señor.
Dónde está el?
La taberna.
La taberna. Dónde está el banco?
Dos cervezas, por favor.
Hola, me llamo Tommy. Soy.
Mi casa, tu casa.
Mi casa es tu casa. Well, you wouldn't be saying that in Chile because you don't have a house there. You would be from Chile. You don't go around fucking Chile going, mi casa es tu casa.
You can't go around just use a buzzword.
My house, your house.
If you met a guy called Ricardo who was down outside the 12 Pins or the Sheridan's down here, he'd say, mi casa es tu casa.
What does that mean? My house, your house.
Yeah,
you
come
to my
house.
If I was in Chile, just with the amount of Spanish I have now,
hola,
señorita.
Hola, señorita.
¿Dónde está la taberna?
Yeah,
hola, señor. ¿Dónde está la casa Deus?
La casa de Dios.
Where is the house of God?
That is nice.
Tommy has. Do you know what I love about this accent here? I love that he talks like all of Spanish people talk when you listen to television programs in Spanish. Like, they all talk like this. You know, they all talk really low down.
Hola, hola, señorita. ¿Dónde está la casa de Dios?
Hola, señor.
¿Cómo te llamas?
Muy bien.
No, ¿cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
What's your name? Me llamo.
Me llamo Tommy.
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 Tommy. ¿Eres inglés? ¿Eres
opposite.
Soy.
Soy Irlanda.
Irlandés.
Fluent. I have this.
You have it,
Tommy.
So go on anyway, you're in the shopping centre.
So
and you met
when you meet someone and when you meet a cross section of people who are actually listening to the podcast.
What are you talking about?
When you
about?
Meet them, they're listening to the podcast. It's that moment in time. It's like an atom splitting. It's like something.
Uh-huh.
How in the name of God am I walking through the aisle of a supermarket like yesterday and somebody is about to pick up iceberg lettuce and they're listening to us in the fucking podcast.
Oh, at the time.
Yeah.
I thought you were like, Jesus, what's the chances?
No. And then he takes off the headphones and he goes, you won't believe what I'm listening to. And I'm going, no way. He goes, yeah, man, you have just you've gone to a wedding. You've just all got COVID. You've gone to a wedding in Clare and you allowed the boys to be home alone for the first time ever. And I went, God, that's a long time ago. And then he goes, yeah, I started at the beginning. Your podcast is keeping me going. And then I said to this young, nondescript, just young lad, he was in his
20s. That's a bit mean to say that about him.
He was just a young lad, just grand.
Nondescript.
He's just a young lad.
Plain looking,
young lad.
Ordinary.
Ordinary. And I would never have spoken to him.
Anonymous.
I would never have spoken to him.
An anonymous face.
Yeah, but you don't speak to people. Because they're just, you don't.
If someone speaks to you as you're speaking to them, you're speaking to each other.
But that's what the meeting of the meetings are all about. If you meet somebody and they meet you, then that meeting.
And if they've never met you before.
That's a meeting of two people. So you're talking.
It's a meeting.
Yeah, that's
and
a wow.
And then I said, where are you from? And he said, I'm from the village here at Clagoa. And I said, I'd be working in a lab all day, every day. And then
he's good English, in fairness, doesn't he?
I work in a lab all day, every day, and your podcast keeps me going. And from that moment on, my little O'Huckagon antennae went up. Because I do like people working in labs. And I said, what do you do for a living? Well, he said, I'm just finishing my PhD in stem cell research. Well, hello. Oh.
Is that the thing that...
Is he going to bring you in and change your stem cells?
No, but what a magnificent PhD to be doing, because that stem cell research that's happening at the moment is travelling like a fucking highway of technology. It is accelerating at such a pace that in a couple of years' time, you'll be able to go into a shop and go, I think I'll have some of that stem and I'll have some of that cells. Give me some of this cells.
I don't think so.
Give me some of that cells. Yes,
you get your hair back on track. Yeah.
You can just buy it in Tesco.
What's happening over in Istanbul, it will be radical. But imagine, he's in a lab.
He's just saying words.
He's in a lab.
Words aren't collating, Hector.
This isn't really a story. It's more like an abstract collage of sentences.
You've just found a load of words. Telling you, you've read it thesaurus last night.
Trying to tell a story
night.
To you two is getting ever increasingly difficult.
It's getting weird.
The fucking two.
Are you on a trip somewhere?
No, but like he's studying. Your man's there. He was, and he was listening to the podcast, and he said, "I work in a lab every day. I salute people in labs all over the world, whatever work they're doing for the better of mankind. And if they can come up with one thing that can help us, I think it's a good thing."
When someone who does stem cell research,
yes.
So
yes, Tom.
What does that mean? What is a stem cell?
Take the blind Christ, for example. If the stem was powerful enough, it could regain sight.
What is a stem?
A stem cell. It's the basis. It's the DNA of every cell that's in your body made up of it.
Okay, so it's a kind of like a source.
It gives you life.
It's a source cell. What the? Don't speak.
Think of the body as a warehouse of cells. And in that warehouse are billions of cells.
Yes.
And there's some really, really important ones.
Okay.
And MSC is the most important cell. Mitrocline. Stem something. Excuse me.
I'm sorry. You're going too deep now with the cells.
The main it's called mitrocline.
Why do you have to go kind of high pitched in the middle?
When you're talking to people who work in labs, you have to use the term MSC, and anyone in stem cell research will know this. So that cell, Tommy, is the major one inside the human body that's in the bones, because bones create everything. Inside the bones, there's bone marrow and there's all that stuff, and they're taking it out of that and they're recreating it. They're making it grow, and they're now saying in the future, humans, for sickness and treatments and lacking in something, that they can reproduce at a phenomenal rate to really make the human body stronger, more powerful,
longer living.
Can I ask you a question?
What do you think of this? So, I was talking to this fella the other day, this fella from South America who...
Jesus, were you on like a Zoom call to
doing?
Like South America?
People.
No,
you meet
don't.
Them where? You
no,
don't fucking
you
leave the
don't.
House.
I meet.
What do you meet them in the tent that you built out the back of your house?
I meet people.
He makes it up.
I don't.
Where did you make it? I got another guy from South. Oh, he just happened to be from South America.
You met a priest
I met a person
from
fucking Corrifin last week.
Yeah.
I didn't meet a piece
of people. I met two people who drove from Darwin to Melbourne and it took them 3 weeks.
And did it change them? Did that journey change them?
I don't know. They came to Ireland then.
Then it was a journey not worth taking. I met this fella. He was a young fella from, I can't remember the part of Chile he was from, but anyway. When he was young, he felt a calling towards the Lord, and he took a friend of his out into the Chile's mainly desert, as you know,
in the northern part.
In the northern part.
In the southern part is mainly snow.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Is that in the deserty bit?
Yeah, go on.
And
near the Atacama Desert, is it?
He became very religious anyway, and his best friend from when he was young was hurt in a mining accident where his leg got burnt. And my friend, the guy I was talking to, can't tell the story if you're not listening to me.
We're just doing sign language here going, this is complete holy baloney.
No, it's not.
It's holy baloney.
It's not, Hector.
It's Tony Mahoney.
And he said, anyway, that
fuck, it's just this world of fucking, it's like your mind is like your man Benicio del Toro. What's the name? Guillermo del Toro. That's who you fucking are. Your mind is the Guillermo del Toro of Ireland.
I was talking to this fella and he said to me
Where did you meet him? In like Wexford or somewhere, is it?
I just met him.
Tell us where and how you met him.
That's not relevant.
No, but I met a guy in a lab in Super Value. He's on where fucking stem cell research.
Where was I?
Paint a picture.
I spent 2 days talking to him. So I met him.
2 days? You were talking to him for 2 days?
Yeah, I met him on the day I arrived and the following day when I left Killarney.
You spent time with him?
Killarney, yeah. Met him in Killarney.
You planned to meet him?
No, I didn't.
And where did you meet him? Randomly on the street?
I just met him because I walk around and people...
And how did you start a conversation with a randomer?
From Chile?
Yes.
How did he know you and how did you know him?
No. How do you say, hello there, randomer. I started a conversation about stem cell research and he was looking for iceberg lettuce.
Okay, can I tell my story?
I painted the picture. And
I don't paint pictures, Hector.
Yeah, go on, Tommy.
I tell true stories.
Yeah, this is a true story. So a pal of his had been involved in a mining accident and the mining company no longer take care of him. Once you're injured and you can't work, there's no union or grand pension scheme or you're basically cast to the side. And he got a severe burn on his leg and he was on crutches and it was kind of like the leg was going into gangrene. And my friend, the fellow I was talking to, he got it into his head that he was able to perform miracles, that he was a healer. Okay?
A glass of water here.
A glass of fucking whiskey I need. Go on.
So where's that bottle of Kentucky fucking bourbon?
So he got it into his head that he was able to perform.
And what age was he when he thought this?
He would have been in his mid to late 20s.
Were you like outside a nondescript, like are you outside a shop in Killarney?
Don't mind that kind of shite.
Go on anyway. So he was going to heal his leg?
He felt very close to God and he just had this aura about him where people could sense there was something different about him. And he had great faith in God and he said, I'm going to heal my friend.
Right.
So he walked, he took off his shoes. I don't know how he took off his shoes. And he walked across the desert barefoot to meet his pal. And he got there and he put his hands on his legs in an attempt to regenerate some sort of stem cell growth in his legs. And he wasn't able to do it.
Well, I'm not fucking surprised.
He wasn't able to...
That's a shock.
...heal his friend. And he... At the time, he was very...
Was he disappointed?
He felt abandoned by God. Okay. Right. That's what he said.
Yeah.
But then he said, his life kind of... He started looking for less from God.
Right, yeah. He started a bit high, in fairness.
And now he said he started looking for a little bit less from God, and he was happy. He was happy. He was living with a woman who was older than him, like significantly older than
right.
him. Because he'd arrived at her house and he'd helped her out with something. And then one evening she snuck into the bed and started munching him.
Right.
And he
accepted that.
Is this a movie you saw?
Yes.
I was thinking it was.
I had to go.
This is the picture of Christ that he saw.
Oh, that's classic. He was waiting along the two. And me and you, Lorena, were like this. We were all eyes and all ears going, what is going on?
So it's called The Blind Christ.
So I am...
Doesn't sound like a great film.
Beautiful film. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. God bless and good luck. One more thing. We wanted to give you a taste of what to expect if you sign up for our members-only episode on a Monday. Exclusive and ad-free. Find out all the details on thlpod.com/members-only.
Oh, yeah. Child, I was babysitting a baby. I was babysitting Gus. Baby Gus. Anyway, I just...
What a neighbouring child. He'd be wearing a three-piece pinstripe suit when he's four. Well, Gus. Well, lads, I'm after buying 6 acres behind the house here. Well, Gus. Gus will own half a Ballina by the time he's 12. Well, Gus, he'll be driving when he's 7. He'd be driving a BMW 520 M Sport. By the time he's seven, he'll have about nine kids in the back. Nine birds. Gus. Gus the baby.
We hope you enjoyed that taste of our members only episode. To find out more, head to www.thlpod.com/members-only.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.